Somebody reach out to Jesus right now. He's still the healer. He still opens the blind eye and the deaf ear. He still heals the lame, cleanses the leper. He still hears the cry of his church. Give him some more praise. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I love the presence of the Lord. There's nothing like it. Praise God. Aren't you glad we're in a country and in a church where we can worship Him freely? In Jesus' name, help us, God, never to take this for granted, because we have a privilege that many in the world don't have. Come on, let's give Him some praise, folks. Let's give Him some praise from the depths of our soul. I enjoy You, Jesus. Thankful for You, Lord God. Your death, burial, and resurrection is precious to me. I give You honor and glory. Praise God. Glory be to God. You may be seated. It is a joy once again to be at APC. My wife is with our children in Oklahoma and otherwise would be here tonight. It's good to have my friends. If I start naming friends, I'm going to get in trouble. But thank you for being here, friends. I do pay honor to Brother and Sister Williams from Poplar Bluff. We have become friends. Brother Williams serves on the Mission Possible Loan Fund Committee with North American Missions, and what a valuable man, what a valuable family the Williams family is. They are godly people and thankful. Thank you, Bishop, for our friendship of, well, a long time, since the mid-70s. It's good to see Brother DeLong. Congratulations on that new baby. Your life has changed. And never to be the same again. It takes you twice as long or three times as long to get out of the house now, doesn't it? Yeah. It's always good to be with my friend, Brother and Sister Reaver, Brother Sister Clark, our district Spanish Evangelism Ministries Director for the Missouri District. They do a fantastic job. Muy bueno. Brother Spa, I honor you. God bless you. And I wouldn't want to do the North American Missions Director's job without the team we have in place. And we are blessed to have so many called and gifted individuals there working in the kingdom. I'm going to be turning to the 16th chapter of Matthew, begin reading in the 13th verse. I'm sorry, Brother Thomas, that I didn't get this to you, but they'll get it. They'll get it up there very quickly. I didn't give you a title because I may not have one. Oh, I do have one. Jesus is building His church. That's the title. Praise God. Praise God. I feel the presence of the Lord in this place. The 13th verse of the 16th chapter of Matthew reads, and I will read through the 19th verse. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. To repeat the 18th verse, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus is building a church. I will pause and tell you that I do have a disease in my body, but Jesus is healing that disease. In Jesus' name. I've always had a red cast to my face when I get excited or embarrassed or whatever. I turn really red. But with this condition in my body, I turn redder than red. Brother Graham teases me that I look like a bottle of ketchup. It's called flushing, so don't get concerned about me. It just happens. It'll go down in a few seconds or a few minutes or whenever it decides to, and I know it's there. Don't let it distract you or get concerned about me. I'm going to be all right in a little bit, I think. Jesus is not a haphazard God. He is well organized, fine-tuned. He does not just do things just any old way. And when he established the idea that he would build his church, he had a blueprint in mind. A few weeks ago, the Missouri District gathered together and built a church under the Church in a Day program in Owensville, Missouri. This was a larger building than the normal Church in a Day building. The normal Church in a Day building is a 34 by 84 building, and this one was a 60 by 60 building, just a little bit larger than normal. So I know those buildings take just a little bit longer than others, so we tease each other because I don't think we built but two out of the seven church in a days that we've done. I think only two of them have been according to the national plan. All the others have been larger. And we just call it the church someday. It's gonna be good. But in Owensville, we started from the slab and laid out the walls and even nailed some of them together on Wednesday afternoon. And then Sunday, we had almost the finished building, and we had service in a building that with 131 people present. And one received the Holy Ghost and baptized three in Jesus' name. And it's a beautiful place. Praise God. Since then, Sister Bowens, the pastor, tells me that they had the following Sunday, they had 84 and then 81 and then 93. And I don't know what they had had today yet, but God is doing a work. She's baptized at least nine in Jesus' name. At least five have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She had everyone in that service, that opening service. She had everyone that has started coming to the church in the last 2 months to stand, and there were between 30 and 35 people that stood. God is doing a work in the small town of Owensville, just an hour and a half from here. Aren't you thankful for what he's doing? But you can't build a building and have 125 or 150 different ideas from all of the people that come, everybody doing their own thing. But we had a blueprint. We had a plan. And the plan started with a siding. They bought the property. Pastor Maxwell went out and looked at the property and determined this is the best spot on this property to put the building. And he had an idea in his mind and talked it over. His daughter is the pastor of the work, and he and Sister Bowens went over the plan that he had in his mind, and she tweaked it with a few ideas, which is a lady's way anyway. I never get away with my wife with just telling her what we're going to do. She has a few ideas and tweaks things along the way, and it turns out better than my idea anyway. So if you talk to her, tell her I finished the story. Then they had a man in the church who was a draftsman, and he drew the blueprint. But the blueprint included not only the site, it included the foundation. No building's good without a good foundation. And Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone of this building, this church that he's building. Amen? He is that firm foundation. And in Owensville, there was some fill on one end of the building. One of the men in the church wanted to make sure that that building never settled and never moved, so he put three or four huge piers underneath the floor in the end where the fill is. The other end, you can't hardly dig it with a backhoe, so we weren't worried about that end. But the end that was filled wanted to make sure the foundation was right. Then they poured the slab, and the blueprint told them where to put the rough end plumbing and where the electrical boxes were going to be and where the doors and windows were going to go. You get the picture. So any of the skilled leaders of the labor teams could look at the same blueprint, and regardless of their trade, they knew what to do and where to do it. That's the kind of church that Jesus is building. He knows exactly what to do with every area. But he's using imperfect building material to build the church out of. He's building it out of people like you and I. But somewhere in our lives, we've got to come to the realization that it takes me and you believing that Jesus Christ is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Genesis 1:1 establishes that he is God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I don't need any other verse to establish that there is one God, but I have many verses, in particular Deuteronomy 6:5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. I am thankful to know there is one God. Hallelujah. And he takes care of everything. That's the foundation. On my paternal side of the family, Aunt Bessie McMurtry, that was her real name, Bessie. In the early 1920s, Aunt Bessie planted a church. They didn't call them church planting then. They didn't meet boards and all of that. They just went out and started a church. Well, I think we need, for to save confusion, we do need a process. And I'm thankful for the process we have in the United Pentecostal Church, that it's just not a haphazard. We've got a blueprint we go by. We have processes. We have applications and boards that ask the proper questions and vetting. And part of my responsibility as director is to make sure everything is vetted properly. But Aunt Bessie didn't need to go through all of that. Aunt Bessie just received the Holy Ghost, and a few years later, her call to preach. And a little while later, she started the founding pastor of Lone Valley Jesus Name Church just out of Calvert City, Kentucky, which is a suburb of Possum Trot, Kentucky. And she was influential in those days of many of our family members coming into this wonderful way called One God Apostolic Jesus Name Baptized Way. And my father and one of my aunts were two of those individuals. That means that my grandchildren are fifth generation apostolics, and I'm thankful. I have a strong foundation on my paternal side. On the maternal side, my mother's side, Grandpa Elmer Robinson was baptized in the popular way to be baptized. But in his study of Scripture, he could not find where anybody in the Bible was baptized that way. Everywhere he found that they were baptized in Scripture, that it was either named or implied that they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. How many believe that the only way that the Bible, amen, you won't find, I'll give somebody $5,000 and I've got that much money, if you can tell me in Scripture where anybody was ever baptized in the name other than in the, any other formula other than the name of Jesus. Brother Mehurin, you've studied the book from back to cover and cover to back. Have you found any place? You'd like to have $5,000, but you can't get it because it's not there. Amen. So Grandpa studied the Scripture, and he went to the man who was his pastor and said, I found things in Scripture that don't match what we teach in our church. The pastor wasn't real happy and told him he was a troublemaker and asked him not to come back. So he said, okay, and he went and found someone who would baptize him in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That changed the course of history for my family on my mother's side. My mother and my father received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. My dad in Kentucky and my mother in Missouri before they married and before they had their family. And I'm grateful to have a firm foundation on both sides of my family. But it doesn't matter if you're first generation or 11th generation, you're a child of God. He doesn't have any grandkids. It is just children of God. It doesn't matter, but what matters is that I come to the realization for myself, not because Aunt Bessie saw it or Grandpa Elmer saw it. I saw it for myself. Jesus Christ is real. He's a chief cornerstone. He's the foundation of this thing. He's the first and the last. He is the beginning and the end. He is what it's all about. I believe in God. I believe His name is Jesus. And I needed to establish that way for myself. Joshua 24:15, a very famous and often read scripture. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served and were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We will serve Jesus Christ. We will make sure that when we rise in the morning, we're talking about Jesus. When we go to bed at night, we're going to be talking about Jesus. We're going to be teaching our children. When my children had a rough day at school and they were teased or bullied, I would pray with them in the name of Jesus. I would counsel them in the name of Jesus. I believe and preach and teach that it's my responsibility as the father, as the man of the house, to teach my family, the ways of the Lord. It's for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. It's not optional. The question does not come up in our home, are we going to church today? It doesn't happen. We just get up and we go to church when it's church time. That's just the way it is. We need to establish some things. Just believing in God is not enough. Many believe in God but never do anything about it. We've got to establish our ways in Him. Somebody shout yes. But it's not just any old way, is it? Jesus has a plan. He has a way. Maybe it's not a popular way, but it's the Bible way. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, it's the Bible way. The old song says, I found the way that leads to endless day, yonder in the glory land. You probably know the song. You probably know the song. A lot of these younger music people wouldn't know what I was talking about. Not that you're old or anything, but you're as old as my children. The choir got a kick out of that one. I found the way that leads to endless day. There's an eternity that we're all going to live. And I want to establish that it's going to be eternal life for me and my house. Amen? But what is the way? How do we punch the ticket? How do we get born into this family? I know some of you have heard this for 900 years. But somebody may be in the house that it's not you've not established your way yet. But there was an event that happened 2,000 years ago. See, I'm flushing right now, aren't I? Am I red? Pretty red? See, there I told you. We'll be all right in a few minutes. It was on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. An event happened that changed the church from that day to this. From that day to the time that Jesus Christ comes to gather us, the church, His bride, to meet Him in the air. And we are privileged people to have it. Every morning when we get up, we ought to be able to look in the mirror and say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises to you and to your children and to those who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Somebody shout yes, I want to be somebody that's buried in the name of Jesus Christ and filled with His Spirit. That's the way that leads to endless day. How many can witness that it's the real thing? How many are witness that it's the only way? Hallelujah! Jesus is building His church, and He's building it out of people like you and me who are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and we need the forgiveness of Jesus in our lives. I've been a liar. I've been a thief. I've been this and I've been that. I've never been drunk. I've never been high on drugs, but I have been a sinner. There's no good sinner, no bad sinner, Pastor Williams. It was just sinners saved by grace. I've never spent a night in jail. The only time I've been in jail is to go visit those who are incarcerated. But I know that there may be some folk in this place that lived inside the prison for a little while. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter that I've never been there. It doesn't make me better than you. I'm telling you, I needed Jesus Christ, and I needed Him desperately. Anybody else desperate for the Lord? I'm glad I found out who He is. I'm glad I found out the way. I'm glad I found out how to get born again of the water and the Spirit. As Jesus told Nicodemus, I know what it takes, Pastor Williford, to be saved. We don't need to be distracted by issues and politics and things that are happening in the world today. He must be the focus of our life. God help us. This is where I get my news. But I don't go very often to read the news. I hear enough of it by accident that I don't want to know all the details. I tried the Drudge Report. It's not much better than the rest of them. But I've got good news. The only thing I want to do with the caravan that's coming toward the border is pray for them. I'm not going to ask them if they get over here, Brother Clark, if they're legal or illegal. I'm going to ask them one question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Amen. At our Spanish conference later this month, we're not going to ask that question. If they're legal or illegal. Well, I see I got on somebody's sugar stick. Well, where do you think you came from? I'm Scotch, Irish, I don't know, got some Cherokee Indian in me somewhere. I don't know everything, but I know I didn't originate on this country as far as my family tree is concerned. How'd y'all get me on this? I'm not concerned about that caravan. I'm not concerned about, you know, I'm going to vote Tuesday. I hope everybody takes advantage of the right to vote. Amen. Can I get a bigger amen than just from two people over here? And I'm going to vote biblically. As close to biblically as I can. That doesn't mean that I'm going to vote for somebody that's full of the Holy Ghost, because I don't know if there's anybody running for these offices that profess the Holy Ghost. But I want to vote biblically, and I want to do that. But I am of the persuasion that Jesus has a blueprint. And the reason that any president has served our nation is not because so much the vote, but because it's in the plan of Jesus Christ. He created this earth. He created everything that's in it. Except maybe politics. I don't know. But he created every person that's involved in anything people are involved in that is godly. He created it. But he created the people who are involved in witchcraft. He created the people who are involved in worshiping Allah. He created everybody. I'm glad I didn't go through all of those. I have a sister that got hurt in the church. Boy, got quiet then. She got hurt severely in the church when she was a teenager. So she went from this to this to this to this to this. And you know what she found out? No matter where you go, people are people. People hurt other people's feelings. Even in Pentecost, people hurt each other's feelings. When I get off, Bishop, pull my coattail. We're not perfect people. Remember I told you Jesus is building a church out of imperfect people. But I'm striving to be perfect because I'm striving to be like Him. I'm striving to know Him. I'm striving to be what Jesus Christ wants me to be. And that's a holy man of God. He wants you to be a holy woman or man of God. He desires you to be a witness for Him in the earth. God help us. It's not just any way. It's just not any way. It's just not any way that my flesh wants to go. And there have been days that I would prefer to have an easier way. But I found out that if I'll just hang in there in the tough days, that those things pass. And if I'll just pray and believe the Lord, no matter what comes or what goes, no matter how steep the climb, I'm going to make it all the way home someday. Oh, it takes an effort. It takes effort to build the building. Jesus could walk up to you and say, be saved from this day to that day. But he wants us to be involved in the process. Amen? He wants us to be involved in the process. But I believe he intends for us to be saved. Because he said that he's not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Neither is there Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I am grateful for the name that's above every name. I'm glad that on December the 8th, 1968, I walked into the Tennessee River and met my pastor there in that cold water. And he baptized me in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. He did not stutter. He did not have to search the scriptures any further. He knew that formula was the only formula to bury me in. I'm thankful today, some however many years this is later, 50 years later, that I still know the name, and that name is still applied. I could have walked away in many opportunities. There are always exit ramps coming up and available to us, but I'm thankful that I've not taken those routes. I have never backslidden. I've never walked away from God, but I'm telling you, if you have, not only are there exit ramps, but there are entrance ramps. You can get back on the road to glory. You can get back on this glory road. I'm preaching to somebody tonight. You may have strayed. You may have faltered, but you don't have to stay that way. You can come back into an altar of repentance, and he's faithful to forgive, because he's building a church out of imperfect people, and I am the most imperfect among you. I am the chiefest of sinners, Paul said, yet I am determined that there is nothing in this world that can separate me from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's building a church, and I'm determined to be in that church. I'm determined for my kids to be in that church. My grandchildren are to be in that church. And if they have children, my great-grandchildren, Jesus helped me, a third-generation Pentecostal who birthed the fourth generation in my family, and they birthed the fifth generation. And I want you to know, it thrills my soul to see that fifth generation with their hands raised and tears flowing down their face, worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You think it doesn't matter how we do and what we do? It does. It does. It does. Because we're representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That name, the name of man, is a precious thing. If you have a good name in the community, that's good. My father banked at a particular bank for many years. When my cousin got married, he asked me to be his best man, and I ended up being the one to finance all of the groomsmen's tuxedos. So I paid the rental, and every one of them, instead of giving me cash, they wrote me a check. Well, I was kind of cash strapped, and I needed that cash. So I went to my dad's bank. I didn't have an account there. I was living in Kansas City at the time. I walked into the teller and I said, I need to cash these checks, and I don't have an account here, but my dad does. And she said, well, I don't know what we can do. So she talked to the vice president of the bank. He walked over and said, who's your dad? I told him, James Sample. He said, cash the checks. Because he knew if they bounced, my father would take care of them. Pastor Wilford, there have been times that I had to draw on my Heavenly Father's name. Because I didn't have the name on the account. I didn't have an account at the bank. I didn't feel like I had anything to go on. But in His name, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Is anybody thankful in the house that you have a name? You have a name that's above all names. That's been applied to your life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. His account is bottomless. You cannot exhaust. You cannot exhaust His riches. We cannot exhaust. We cannot. I need Him. I need Him. I stand before you a very blessed man. My mom and dad turned 92 last month. Mom's be 87 soon. They're still in church every time the door's open. Dad used to be an aisle runner, but I never saw him run the aisles. I've just told stories by Aunt Bessie and others. But my dad's a worshiper. Has a great singing voice. He's a great Bible teacher. Every once in a while in the altar service, the Holy Ghost is really moving. You get the head jerks, I call them. Tears will flow down his face. I haven't seen Dad cry all that often, but real men cry when Jesus starts moving on you. Somebody needs to let the tears flow tonight. And let Jesus Christ wash us anew. It may not be a significant part of this building that Jesus is building. But it doesn't matter if you're that main structure-bearing being. Or if you're just that two before hidden behind a wall that holds the thermostat to the heat and air. Or that 24-inch brace up in the rafters. Just going to gather spider webs and dust. Nobody's going to see it. But that's an important piece. Because when the winds blow, when the storm comes, when the snow is heavy on the roof, that 24-inch, everybody in the building is going to be thankful that that 24-inch board is where it is. I walked into the Owensville church on Friday morning of the build. Brother Jamie O'Neill, our framing supervisor, said, Brother Sample, we need 50 16-foot two-by-fours. I said, what do you need that for? He said, for bracing. They used every one of those 50 16-foot 2x4s to brace that building. And you think you're not important to Jesus Christ. You think the church can get by without you. I don't feel that way, folks. If we grow to 10,000 at APC, everyone is vital. Everyone is needed in the building that Jesus Christ is building. I'm in the Holy Ghost right now. Somebody in this place doesn't feel like you're worth anything. Somebody doesn't feel like that you're important to the church, that this building could make it without you. Oh, it might on a normal day, but you let the winds blow. People are going to miss your prayer. Somebody's going to miss what you do. Somebody's going to miss you. And the whole building may suffer. You think it doesn't happen? That's the church in Rolla. In a few years, the whole trust structure collapsed because it wasn't braced sufficiently. That's why it's important for us to pray daily. That's why it's important not to wait till Sunday to read the Bible. That's why it's important not to wait till the church service to praise the Lord. I've been walking beside my father, rabbit hunting, him with his 12-gauge shotgun, double-barreled shotgun, and me with my just going out hunting rabbits. And just out of the clear blue, my dad would say, "Well, praise the Lord." That's important to me as a 64-year-old man because I still hear his voice saying, "Well, praise the Lord." And I ask him, "Dad, what'd you say that for?" He said, "Well, I just felt like saying it because God's been good to me." So guess what my children heard when we're driving down the road? I didn't take them hunting, but I took them with me for the Pentecostal Publishing House. We're going to sell books and Bibles and try to spread the word of God. Driving down the road, I said, "Well, praise the Lord." "What'd you say that for, Dad?" "Well, I just felt like saying praise the Lord." Not that much, but I promise you they remember Dad saying praise the Lord. Dad, you're vital to your kids. You say, "Well, I lost my job. I can't make a living for them." Keep looking up, because he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's the time when you say, "Heavenly Father, I'm drawing from your account, and I'm believing that you're going to provide for my family." And he'll do it. Can I get a hand raised somewhere in the house if that's happened to you? Did Jesus Christ come through? Does he come through every time? Are you perfect? Is that why he did it? Or are you like me? You're an imperfect specimen that Jesus Christ chooses to pick you up out of the junk heap and scrub you off and shine you up and put you into his building. Cut you to the right length and nail you in there. I'm telling you, friend, I'm glad to be a part of the building that Jesus Christ is building. He's building a church. He's building a church. Look at your neighbor and say, "I am part of an important building that Jesus Christ is building." I need Jesus. Dad, what happens if we don't take the mark of the beast? We're not able to buy and sell. We can't get food. Babies, I was young and I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He provided for the children of Israel in the wilderness. He provided for Elijah. He's provided for me. And he'll provide for you. Jesus is the all-sufficient God. And He's building a church. He's building it out of you and I. If my wife were here, she would say, no, He's building it out of you and me. And it is a fact. That I can call on Him in the hour of need, no matter what it is, and He's there every time. Jesus is building a church, and Jesus is all I need. If all you have and all you end up with is Jesus Christ, you have more than enough. Brother Smith, is it true? Have you found it true? Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your example. I've prayed with you through some tough times. But thank you for standing firm and standing true. Thank you.